So reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, The Symptoms of the Living Energies. And reading text 10. So I'll go through word for word, shall we, so we can get used to the words. Daiva.
Daiva.
Arine.
Arine.
Sarire.
Sarire.
Asmin. Okay, report reads. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, living entities dependent on the Supreme Entity, Lord Krishna, but because of false pride, ignore the Supreme Entity and consider themselves to be the performer of action and the drawer of everything. Srila Acharya states that just as a king punishes a rebellious subject, the Supreme Lord punishes the sinful entity by forcing him to transmute from one body to another in the network of the illusory entity. So we will stand still. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prabhupada Jika Kriyamanani Gunai Kanani Sahasaha Ahankarahi Mudakma Kartahami Jinayate. Thank you. The living entity is dependent on the Supreme Entity, Lord Krishna. But because of false pride, he ignores the Supreme Personality of Godhead and considers himself to be the performer of action and the drawer of everything. Srila Madhvacharya said that just as a king punishes a rebellious subject, the Supreme Lord punishes the sinful living entity by forcing him to transmigrate from one body to another in the network of illusory energy. So just briefly review where we're talking about in the Bhagavatam. Buddha was asked to distinguish between what are the sentiments of someone who is operating under conditioned consciousness and what are the sentiments of someone who's operating as a servant of Sri Krishna. This is part of the series of verses, of 9 verses, which began in text 8, where the Lord will describe specifically these symptoms of liberated and conditioned jiva souls. In text 8, we read that just as in a dream, we may identify with our material body. At death, or at the time when we return to our original service position, to our Guru Maharaj and to the Lord, we will wake up from that dream. Text 9 was comparing an enlightened person to one who remains foolish. In text 10, that foolish mentality is described. An unintelligent person situated within a body created by his previous political activities thinks, I'm a performer of action. So the purport begins with Bhagavad Gita 3:27. This is a simple version of the same idea. Srila Prabhupada states that although two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, may work on the same level, there is actually a gulf of difference. The person in material consciousness remains convinced by their false ego. How do we remain convinced by our false ego? Why? Did anyone else know?
Why?
Sorry, can you just go on?
We start enjoying through the senses in the body.
Okay. So we think we will gain happiness through our body. And perhaps we don't chant Hare Krishna. Perhaps we don't get to chant Hare Krishna. And we get a taste for acting on spiritual level. So would the answer be perhaps to gain taste in actually serving Krishna? Perhaps? What do you think? You're saying that we remain bound by our false ego. And we remain bound by our false ego because we're acting through our material senses. We also have spiritual senses. Originally we have spiritual senses. Why don't we use them?
So we've forgotten that.
How do we remember?
By practicing devotional service, the nine sense processes, we start activating those spiritual senses.
And what's the best way?
Chanting Hare Krishna.
Okay, so how do we get taste the chanting?
More chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. So Prabhupada goes on in his Bhagavad Gita report to say that a materialistic person has no knowledge and that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. Well, he has no knowledge of that. He's under the control of Krishna. So when we sit here before the deity is trying to glorify them in Bhagavatam Kala, and still we think that they're statues, which is in reference to the Prabhupada, trying to glorify his writings and the writings of the disciples, and still we think it's a statue. A big problem. At least in the service of the devotees, they won't let us think that they are anything less than devotees. That's their very special mercy. I might try and go word for word through the text and see what comes out. So dialogue means of one's previous spiritual activities. Hindi speakers put together our samples. And dialogue has no relationship to demigods, D-A-I-V-A. It's just two spiritual activities, we should accept that. Any other origin of that word? Dialogue, D-A-I-V-A. First word. No.
So next to it, so are there the origins of the demigods? Because the demigods are the gods. Are they forcing themselves into the creative body?
That's a good one. Why that word is applied.
Thank you for that.
So next word is Adini, which is one of the influence. So Adini's first, that there's some controlling factor, Adini. So later on.
It means if there's a rules that after the Daiva brings that in context to the first word, Dasa.
Dialogue, sari, very familiar in the English speakers are familiar with sari in the material body. That's me in this guna, language of nature. body now, which are produced. Karma, this karma again is sorry, creative activities again. But it's called karma this time. Vartmana, being situated. Amitya, what is foolish? Now that I know something about. Krishna love allows us to be foolish. Definitely we are foolish because death is waiting for us, and we prefer to think that the material body is eternal. We never have to live it, we never have to establish a service position, loving service position, and joyful service position as a servant of Krishna. However, Sri Krishna, is so kind that he allows us to think that we are really very foolish. Tantra, who's in the body functions, Karatara, Asmi, that's a very key word. All our material conditioning comes down to I am my body, and I form the things that are extensions of my body. And then we have four varieties. So everybody in this room thinks as me, I am, I have the relationship with all the different people in the room. As different relationships, as servant of the Lord, servant of God. So we're imagining we have both things going on. But it can only be temporary. So again, how do we get a chance to taste the Chaitanya Hare Krishna? Any other suggestions how to get a taste of the chanting?
Serving the pure devotees of Krishna.
Serving pure devotees.
Will you feel your taste for them?
By the mercy.
By
the mercy.
And their good qualities, beneficial qualities.
So we need to learn how to serve each other. I've been reading Raghunatha Maharaj's autobiography, Journey Home, and he said, as a 19-year-old man, he went from America as a hippie through Europe to the Himalayas and spent 9 months in the Himalayas learning with the rishis, with the yogis, in caves and in caves, eating one carrot a day. Eventually, his quest took him to Vrindavan, and he lived in Vrindavan not knowing about his call. He lived with a devotee who you may have heard of through his call, called Ghanashyam. Ghanashyam was a very holy Vajrasi personality. He was chanting Hare Krishna and wishing that he could actually serve Srimati Radharani. He drew Radharani's name in the sand where he was chanting and worshipped that form, that deity form in the sand, Srimati Radharani, praying for her service in Vajra. When he finished chanting, he brushed the name of Srimati away, and he saw some metal in the earth, and he brushed it away, and he saw that there was a deity there. So he called the people of Vrindavan that he knew. He called them to help him dig Srimati Radharani while they were digging up Srimati Radharani out of the earth. They found that she was golden brass, They found the deed of Krishna sitting beside her. He was black marble. So Kalashan was a mendicant. He had no facility to worship the deities. And one household of a couple in Vrindavan, I don't know exactly where in Vrindavan it was, but they offered him a closet in their house. They offered him a closet space where became his temple. It was just like a hallway, right as Maharaj describes. You go into the house, there's a hallway, in the hallway there's a closet. Ganesha was sitting in the hallway, and Radha Krishna in the hallway, receiving worship in the closet. Ganesha was sleeping in the hallway at night. And the householders would just go out of business around him while there's worshipping. So Radhanath Maharaj, through his contact in Vrindavan, found out about Ganeshan wanting to visit him. Ganeshan begged, I don't know if that's actually begged, but the devotees in Vrindavan would give him 3 rotis a day. The at that time, this is like 30 years ago, this is in the 1970s. At that time, the staple diet for a virtuously poor person would be a roti with gourd, with cane, sugar, and a palm sugar, gourd. Is that right? Gourd, palm sugar, take palm sugar. So the virtuously would give Ganeshan 3 rotis a day. He would offer them to his deities, and then he would subsist upon that. Meanwhile, Radhanath Maharaj had come. I stole Keshe's book and read that biography. Radhanath Maharaj, meanwhile, had come to Ganesha. He didn't know about this process of how which part of the rotis came to the deities, and that this was Ganesha's own system. Ganeshan was so kind. So what I'm trying to get to is service to the devotees. This is the long story. I'm trying to get there. Please bear with me. Ganeshan was so steeped in service to the devotees, and I gather that although he was an extraordinary sadhika, that this was the mood in Vrindavan at that time. That they had a great Vaishnava culture of service to each other, as service to each other in terms of I have a service to you, you are servant of the Lord, so if I serve you, then I am serving my Lord. Radhanath Maharaj was very taken by Ganeshan. Ganeshan would not say no. He would not allow Radhanath Maharaj to refuse his service. So Radhanath Maharaj would accept the rotis from Ganeshan. He was later walking in the street, saw another devotee that he knew, and he expected a normal pleasant response from him in the street, or passing him in the street. But the devotee chastised him. He said, you know, because of your Ganeshan, you're starving. The 3 rotis that he has, and his only subsistence, and you're taking it from him. So Radhanath Maharaj went back to Ganesha the next day, the next time he went to see the deities. He tried to refuse him, but still couldn't refuse him. So this is a very wonderful culture and a great challenge for especially the Western devotees like me to aspire to revive this culture. Wonderful book. Radhanath Maharaj eventually met Samasundha in Vrindavan, and Samasundha brought him into his khan. Maharaj got darshan to the Prabhupada and took initiation. I recommend the book to you. So perhaps referring the body through somehow be able to revive our spiritual senses and lose a bit of this foolish quality that we have with body. That we're separate from Krishna, separate from Radha's service, separate from Sri Sukhananda's service, separate from Sri 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 Chandra's Bhavan's service, and from Sri Prabhupada's Godhead. Okay, I'm very ignorant. I'll stop here and ask you if you have any questions. I know that there's been so many questions that you can't actually frame them. Please think. Please say something. Yes, Jim.
You mentioned that Krishna's kind of very let's think where he's going.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be kind to finish that confession? Or is that just because that's our desire?
Yeah. So, yes, it is our desire, but Krishna's desire is the right to take us back home. So it's a second-class mentality to think that this world is here for us to realize our desires separate from Krishna. First-class mentality, as you say, is to realize that the world is here to teach us that we cannot be separate from Krishna. Unfortunately, that's even painful. That's the first cost. Okay. Do you want to say something now? Can anyone else make a comment, please? Any other ladies? Sorry, you've got someone who's got an artistic mentality rather than a machine. Always.